Like for those of you who are here for the first time, you're here towards the very end of our study in 1 Peter. You'll get the second to last lesson. We got one more next week. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5 as a jumping off point, really. 1 Peter chapter 5. Kind of just doing some topical things now. We have covered all the verses, but now I'm going back and just picking out a few of the topics that jumped off the page at me. And so two more looks at 1 Peter, counting the one this morning. But our final lesson will be next Friday. And this is a great book. It's a great book. I tell you, it has been rough on the flesh, but I believe this church is stronger as a result of the things that God has shown us. That is, if for those of us who have dealt with those things in our lives. All right, so let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 12. 1 Peter 5:12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. So look at the first half of that verse again. By Silvanus. Well, how many of you have ever heard of Silvanus or have ever heard a sermon preached about Silvanus or read a book about Silvanus? Probably not very many. Not very many. But there he is. He's in the Bible. As far as we know, this guy, he never started a church. As far as we know, he never went on a missionary journey. As far as we know, he never took on the Roman Empire in a stadium or anything like Paul did. But here he is. He's found a place in the Word of God. Because somebody that was trying to serve God found a faithful friend that he could count on in this man Silvanus. Well, the Bible says in 3 John, verse number 14, 3 John 14, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be with thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. By name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look today at those people that you saw fit to put in your holy scriptures, I pray, Lord, that it would help us to recognize that there is nothing in service to our Lord that is counted as unimportant. Every task, everything that we do, Lord, that is from our heart and for you, Lord, it counts. And so I pray, Father, that the lesson today would help us to be more willing to do whatever is needed in service and to be a better friend to our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In these different epistles, these letters that God used Paul to record, those that God used Peter to record, and the ones that God used John to record, if you read these epistles, when you get down to the end of them, it seems like we're leaving the doctrinal material and entering into what people call personal or practical type of material. And I think that's a mistake to limit it to that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. All Scripture. So first of all Scripture, anything in the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. God wants to teach us something. And God is trying to teach us that the great Apostle Paul and the great Apostle Peter and the great beloved John acknowledge, recognize that Had God given me truth? Had God given me a calling? Had God given me a responsibility, but had not given me friends that I could count on to help me in the work, chances are very good that it would have never gotten accomplished. And so I have thought this week, as I read over these verses that we're going to look at this morning, I wonder how many men there are that can count me as a friend. And I don't mean somebody that they just know. I don't mean somebody that's been nice to them. I don't mean somebody that you rub shoulders with and tell a joke with and get along with in the church house. I mean, how many people would say Bob Davenport is a friend to me? And I wonder, as you look at your life, not how many people do you know, not how many people could you get to, or could you call on the phone to get something from them, not how many people who in a time of need would do something for you, or how many associates do you have, or how many names are in your Rolodex or your contact list. What I want to know is how many people would say, that man, that woman is my friend. You know something? Jesus Christ was a friend to his disciples. He said, I call you friends. He called Judas friend. Remember that? Jesus Christ was a friend to publicans and sinners. I don't think that meant that he simply had made their acquaintance. I think that meant those men and women knew that they could count on Jesus Christ. They could depend on him to do certain things. Now, you know, a church is made up of two kinds of people. Just like the world, the church and the world, they have a lot in common. The church is made up of two kinds of people. Those who are there to get everything they can from the church, from the minister, from the other members of the congregation, and those who are there to contribute to any way they can, everything they can, to that church, to the minister, and to the other members of the congregation. There are those that are there to get all the griping, all the complaining. They cause all the trouble. Okay? And there are those who are there to give. You got the getters and the givers. Okay? There's those who give. They're only a blessing and a joy to everyone around them. The givers, they never quit. They never quit. The takers, they're the ones you see quitting. The givers never drop out and go down the road and then talk about, well, they just weren't friendly in that church. they just weren't loving. They just didn't do the things I wanted them to do. The moochers, the getters, they're always the ones who leave. They head on down the road and talk you down as they see you disappear in the rearview mirror. You know, I don't want to be in a church satisfies my every longing and every desire. If I say I'm looking for those things, I'm testifying that I'm a getter and not a giver. If I'm a getter and not a giver, I'm not a friend. And if I'm not a friend, I'm not following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I love the phone call when the man says, hello, we're looking for a place where we can serve. We're looking for a place where we can be involved. What kind of missions giving does your church have? What kind of ministry outreaches does your church have? Do you go into the jails and talk to the prisoners there? Do you go in the nursing homes? That's great to get those kind of calls. But when the phone rings and somebody says, what kind of activities do you have for young people? What kind of social events do you have for the ladies? That's a moocher. That's a sponge. That's somebody who's not going to help you. I look around here on a Friday afternoon. You know, our service ends, 1:30, 2 o'clock usually, and people don't just rush out the door when the preaching stops. We usually don't lock the door till 3 o'clock or later, and yet there you got people that say, well, I tried that church a couple of times, and those people, they just weren't friendly. That's a moocher says that. That's somebody who just stood around contributing nothing. They slipped in late and they left early and involved themselves in nobody's life and nobody's ministry and wanted to, there's someone, they want you to run after them and beg them to please stay, please stay. That's somebody who's not going to last anyway. I want to be a friend. I want to be a giver. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. You know, that old flesh doesn't like that. The flesh, if the flesh ever does get to the place where it spends for others, if others don't spend something in return, the flesh says, well, what's the use? What's the point? Let's quit that. There's enough of that. Paul said, man, I'm willing to spend. Willing to spend. And if you don't spend anything on me, well, I'll just be spent. If you don't pay me back, that's fine. Jesus Christ said, what if you did give a man your coat and he didn't give it back? What if you did go a mile with a man and he said, well, how about you go 2 miles? What if you did cut a guy a break and all he did was cut you in return? Jesus said, yeah, you did right. You did right. What's the problem? He's got a problem, but wait, why do you have a problem? Apostle Paul wrote to one group of Christians. He said, though the more I love you, the less I be loved, yet will I love you. Why? He was their friend. A friend loveth at all times. You know, the Bible is full of Paul, but little about Silvanus. And it's full of Peter, but little about Aristobulus, and full of John, but little about Phoebe. And yet those men, when the Holy Spirit had them write those letters, those men acknowledged, the writers of these letters acknowledged, hey, were it not for their friendship, you wouldn't have gotten this letter. I wouldn't have come to your town and started that church. I wouldn't have lasted through that trial. If you've done anything for God, you'll stand this morning and you'll say, hey, I know I didn't do that by myself. If you've accomplished anything for Jesus Christ, you'll stand at the judgment seat and you'll say, Lord, give part to him, give part to her, give part to them, give part to that fella. Lord, I know I didn't do this all myself. If it hadn't been for those people, if it hadn't been for their help, this would have never gotten done. And that would have never gotten done. This and that and whatever got done, it would have never got done. So I want to show you some friends this morning and just some of the things that friends do. So come to, first of all, to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Are you anybody's friend? Are you a giver? Sometimes preachers have to deal with married couples that are having problems with their marriage. And so, here's a man and his wife. They're not going to any church because, no church is good enough. And they don't sit under any preacher because, hey, no preacher's good enough. And so he's going his way, she's going her way, and they know that there's a problem. So they try to get counseling from a preacher, even though he's not good enough. They know there's a problem, so they get counseling. But when the preacher tries to deal with that couple about selfishness, and that's the biggest problem in marriages, isn't it? Selfishness. They get indignant when you suggest such a thing. You calling me selfish? They get offended. You're saying we're selfish? Now look, you've got a saved man who claims to believe the Bible, claims to be saved. And a saved woman who claims to believe the Bible, and they cannot tolerate one another's presence. And they're amazed that you would suggest that one of them was selfish. You know what the problem is? You've got two sponges, and they have soaked up everything, and they can't soak up any more. So now each sponge, they're going to hop on down to another relationship where they can soak up something else. You know why they've been in every church in town, and now they're not in any church? Because they've hopped like a sponge, and they've soaked up everything they could get from every congregation in town, and there's no place left to soak it up. I don't want to be that way. You know something? You know, if you squeeze that sponge out, you squeeze out what you've soaked in, you can put it back, you can put that sponge back in the water, and it'll soak up a bunch more. Then take it over there and squeeze it out and throw it back in the water and soak up a bunch more. That sponge will last forever. That sponge will be a blessing everywhere it goes if it keeps squeezing it out. Man, I want God to keep giving me grace and love and peace and mercy and kindness. But if I don't let him squeeze it out and be a blessing to somebody else, I'm done. I'm useless. You can only take in so much. You can only take in so much. All right? Now look at some things that friends do. Romans chapter 16, verse number 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Now that word succorer, it's used in Hebrews of Jesus Christ. He is the succorer. That means to run to meet the needs of somebody else. To run to deliver aid wherever it's necessary. Phoebe, she was a friend. She didn't sit back to see if somebody else was going to do it. She didn't sit and wait to be asked to do it. As soon as she saw somebody, someone had some need, she ran to meet that need. She wanted to be the one to be a helper. That's a friend, a real friend. You know, you don't run to meet needs unless you've got your eye out to see needs. You don't run to meet needs unless once you see that need, you are motivated by an interest in the other party, the other person. Well, Phoebe, she's the kind of woman that you love to have around the church. Wouldn't you like to have a church full of ladies like Phoebe, who just walked in the door and instead of saying, well, here I am, come talk to me. Here I am, come wait on me. Here I am, I've got a whole week's worth of complaining to fill you in on. Won't somebody please come and listen to me? Wouldn't it be great instead to have a church full of ladies like Phoebe who just came in and said, oh, look at that, that's dirty, no problem, I'll get that. Oh, look at that, that hasn't been taken care of. Don't bother yourself, I'll take care of it. There's Phoebe. That's Phoebe, succorer of many. Notice, a succorer of many. She is being a friend to others. Others. There are many people who have been helped many times in their many trials by this woman who had her eye out for what she could do for somebody else, not what somebody else could do for her. Look at chapter 16. Here's another lady, another great woman. You've not heard much about her. This is one of the Marys in the Bible. Bible says in Romans 16, verse 6, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." Who bestowed much labor on us. You know, you say, man, that Apostle Paul, he got out there, he preached, and man, he's out there in that marketplace, he's studying that Bible, man, he's digging into that Old Testament, he's writing those scriptures, man, he's doing all that counseling, he's training Timothy, he's training Titus, boy, that fella, he's out there giving it all he's got. Well, guess what? He had to eat. I imagine his clothes were clean. As clean as you could have them in those days, don't you think so? I imagine unless he was in jail, and I know there were times when he was hungry, there were times when he was thirsty, but those were in his journeys, in his travels, his hardships. But I imagine when he was fellowshipping with the saints, he had a roof over his head, wouldn't you think? He had a clean bed to sleep in. You know what he said? He said, yeah, I preached in that marketplace, and when I got home, there were women like Mary who cooked a meal for me. And thank God for that. He said, yeah, I went on those missionary journeys, and there were women like Mary who sewed me a sack full of clothes so I could carry on my back so I'd have something to wear when I got where I was going. And you say, boy, I'd like to be like the Apostle Paul. But you know what he said? God will write it down if you're like Mary. Paul said, I had some friends along the way, and they helped me, and they blessed me, and they met my need. Look, Mary wasn't just, it wasn't just time left over that she offered. It wasn't just 5 minutes a week. It wasn't just hello as he came in the front door of the church house. That Bible said that she bestowed much labor. Labor. The Bible says a man shall provide for his own household by laboring with his hands. That's a full-time job. Isn't that what the Bible uses for the word labor? Bible word for labor, that's a full-time job. Mary made it her full-time job to meet the needs of others in the body of Christ. Now I look at Phoebe and I look at Mary and I ask myself, am I anybody's friend or am I just a user? I don't want to be a user. I don't want to be a moocher. I don't want to be a taker. I want to be a giver. Man, wouldn't it be great if when you get to the end of your life, somebody could stand up and say, there were many times I had a need, and he ran to meet that need. There were many things I needed help with, and that man labored to help me. I wonder if I'm a friend to anybody. Are you a friend to anybody? Or are you just a church member? Is this just where you come to sit on Friday morning? I don't want to be that way. I want to be like Phoebe. I want to be like Mary. I want to be somebody's friend. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. Notice we're going to the last chapters in these books where we read about these people. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, here's two more people you might not have heard about. 1 Corinthians 16, if you're looking for some names for your next child, here's some interesting names. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. So here's three fellows you don't hear much about. But look what the Bible says. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Now obviously, even back in this day, there were some people in the church that were not pulling their share of the load. Obviously, even back in this day, there were some people who just showed up. I mean, they wanted the church to be air-conditioned, but they didn't want to pay for the air conditioning. And they wanted the preacher to come running as soon as they ended up in the hospital, but they didn't believe a preacher ought to be paid or anything. He ought to just do it because he loves the Lord. And, you know, they wanted to have pretty church grounds, but they didn't want to show up for the working party to make sure that it was pretty. And they wanted the restroom clean, but God forbid you put a mop in their hand. You understand what I'm saying. There have always been people like that. Okay, the Apostle Paul said, but thank God they weren't all lying. Thank God there was a man named Stephanas who did his work, and then he did somebody else's work. And a man named Fortunatus who did his part, and then somebody else's part. And a man named Achaicus who not only filled his place of responsibility, but filled in all the gaps where other people were not filling their place of responsibility. That's the crowd I want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of the crowd that grumbles if the window's not clean. I want to be a part of the crowd that goes over there and cleans that window. I don't want to be a part of the crowd that grumbles that there was, you know, dirt and paper in the parking spaces. I want to be a part of the crowd that picks up the paper in the parking spaces and puts it in the dumpster. I don't want to be a part of the crowd that expects everything to be done for me by others. I want to be a part of the others who are doing everything for those who expect it. You say, why? I just believe that pleases God. I just believe that Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus were more of a blessing to God and others, and enjoyed life more than whoever that unnamed crowd is, whose load they were pulling, whose work they were doing. I mean, Paul said, man, they refreshed my spirit. He said, boy, I'd get down in the dumps. I'd get a little depressed, get weary, and I'd get to thinking, boy, what's the use? And nobody cares, and nobody's ever going to get with the program here. And man, I'm beating my brains against the wall. It seems like nothing's getting done. And he said, boy, then these three guys, they came in. They said, boy, I had a great day, Paul, putting out the tracts and preaching on the street down there. How about a little prayer meeting together, Paul? You feel like praying? Paul said, well, I'm kind of tired. They said, yeah, we're tired too, Paul, but man, you look a little bit down, and you got to preach tomorrow morning. Let's just spend a little time in prayer. These were men who were concerned about meeting any need that they saw, and they made God's book. They're in God's book. As far as I know, Fortunatus never started a church. As far as I know, Achaicus never wrote one page of scripture, but they kept Paul going so that he could do the things that God had him to do. You know, it's funny, we get this mindset, you know, people think this way, if I'm not doing some great big thing, I'm not doing anything. And since God didn't call me to do the big thing, he didn't call me. And man, Romans is the world's greatest gospel tract. There's no book in the world about God and about Jesus Christ like the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit has Paul write down, Phoebe helped make this possible. Mary helped make this possible. They had as much to do with founding the church at Rome as Paul did, according to the Holy Spirit. There are not any little jobs if they're done for a big God. It's that outpouring of the heart he's looking for. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, Ephesians 6, that's a great chapter. A lot of neat things here. The chapter starts out talking about children obeying parents, and the chapter talks about the whole armor of God, and the chapter talks about spiritual warfare. A lot of great stuff here. And then, to wrap it all up, look at verse number 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus. Haven't heard much about him lately, have you? Boy, that Apostle Paul, Paul, he's down there in the jailhouse. How do you know that? Boy, that Paul, he wrote about the whole armor of God. How do you know? That Paul, he told us to wrestle against the devil. How do you know? He's in jail. They're not giving him any stamps. There's no postman going over there. He can't get to the post office. I'll tell you how I know, because Tychicus was on visitation down there at the jailhouse, checking up on Paul, seeing how he's doing. He says, Paul, what have you been up to? He said, oh, I just got this letter here. God gave it to me. Well, no kidding. Yeah, really. Well, who's it for? It's for the church at Ephesus. Tychicus said, Ephesus, man, that's a long way from here. Paul said, yeah, I know. Here I am locked up in jail. I sure would like to go down there. Tychicus said, hey, no problem. I got a week's vacation coming on my job. I'll take it for you, Paul. How are you doing, Paul, by the way? Is there anything you want me to tell him about you? Or you got any news to bring down there? How's the physical trouble? How about that messenger of Satan you talked about? You got any prayer updates you might want to share with people? I mean, they're going to be asking about you, Paul. What can I tell them? How are you doing? Now look, I'll show you. Verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. You know what we do? We come to church and we put on our little social manners and, hey, Edgar, how you doing? But God forbid he should actually start telling me, you know. We don't want to know how he's doing, right? We don't care how he's doing. We were just taught to say something nice like, how you doing? But you know something, Tychicus, he cared how Paul was doing. He took the time to listen and find out how he was doing. And then when he got down to Ephesus, he spread the news, man. Man, we got to pray for Paul. He's down. We got to uphold him in prayer. He's burdened. And we got to minister to him, man. He doesn't have a dollar to his name. This was a friend, Paul's friend. You know something else? I'm going to say this. I think it's right. I'm not reading it here in the text, but I will bet you, when Tychicus got down there to Ephesus, I'll bet he bragged on Paul. How many of you believe when he got down there, he said, Paul's such a great man. Paul's a great man. I'll tell you, Paul's the kind of guy you want to be. I'll tell you, Paul, he wrote this letter. He got this letter from God. You know, he walks with God. Don't you think that Tychicus was a man who bragged on Paul when he got down there? I'll tell you something, man. This crowd that every time you walk up on a conversation, you hear them talking and they're running some saved person into the ground. You better watch it, man. They're gossiping about somebody, talking them down. You watch out for that kind of person, because as soon as you walk away, it's going to be your turn. They'll be talking about you. They talk about me to you, they'll talk about you to me. Mark it down, it's true. I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with you meeting somebody in town for lunch. There's nothing wrong with you visiting a church out in town and saying, look, I want to tell you what, you can say what you want. You may have troubles at your place. We've got troubles in our place, but we got the best church in the world, I think. We got good people in our church. We got good kids in our church. We got good families there. We got a good preacher. We got good Sunday school teachers. I tell you, we've got some men in that church that our kids can look up to, those men. We've got some women in that church. They're living right, I tell you. And by God, they love their husbands. It's so obvious. We ought to brag on each other. You know something that, you know, if you know somebody that's doing right, why not talk about that? Well, you know, I saw this kid the other day. Well, yeah, okay, you saw someone doing something wrong, and now you want to tell everybody about it. Yeah, guess what? I saw some kid picking up some tracts they wanted to pass out to their kids. Let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about them. Well, you know, these young people, man, sometimes, a bunch of those young people, they get together, they go out in public, and they stand up for God in a wicked place, handing out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why don't we talk about those kinds of kids? There's plenty to brag about, plenty of good stuff that's going on, plenty of people who are living right, doing right, serving God, honoring the Lord. And it's not wrong for us to brag on them. You know what the Bible says? Look, this is the Bible. It says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. Remember that one? Okay, that's a good verse. Don't brag. Don't use your mouth to praise yourself. But don't forget the first half of that verse. Let another praise thee. It's not wrong to say that young man is clean and he's living right and thank God for him. There's nothing wrong with saying that woman, she's raising her kids the way she's supposed to. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to brag on each other. These people going around calling you a cult and calling you a bunch of fanatics that say you go home at night and you put Brother Bob's picture in front of you and you stare at it and you chant for 2 hours and call that, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody's accusing you of that. But listen, but you ought to respond to that kind of stuff with some praise for what God has done in your life through some good people who you fellowship with. There's nothing wrong with that. Every time I go to a church while I'm on vacation, whether I'm in America or in the Philippines, whenever somebody asks about our church, I say, we've got a great church. We got great people. They're doing plenty for God. They love the Lord. They love their preacher. They're good to each other. Do you think that's wrong? If you think that's wrong, then you're a moocher. And it bothers you that somebody else is getting some praise and recognition because, hey, you want all of it. A selfish man will not praise others. A taker will not brag on others. They're too busy trying to set up a situation so they can get something. Yeah, well, I've been out there plenty of times. We're not talking about you. Just say, yeah, it was great. Yeah, that you're right. Boy, it sure was a good Bible lesson today. Well, yeah, but you know, while he was teaching, God showed me something. Just stop. I mean, we don't want you to try to top the preacher. You know, just say, yeah, it was a good lesson. Come on. Hadn't God given you some good people to go to church with? Some people you can trust, people you can count on and depend on, and even trust your kids with. I mean, you could send your kids home with them and not worry about them getting back anytime soon. Isn't that a blessing? Then why let that bunch out there try to run you into the ground all day and all night? Stand up and say you're wrong. You ought to come spend a month down there before you start talking about something you don't know anything about. Amen. I bet Tychicus bragged on Paul. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Now, yeah, Paul kind of bragged on himself once in a while, but it was kind of in a backwards way. You know, he'd write to the church at Corinth. You know, he'd say, yeah, you're rich, we're poor. You're spiritual. I guess that means we're carnal. He said to him one time, oh, you're reigning? Would to God you did reign, that we could reign with you. He would never say, you know, I'm better than you are, but he just let him know that he's at least trying to walk with God. All right, Philippians 4, again, the end of this epistle, verse number 18. Philippians 4:18. But I have all and abound. I am full. Well, how did he get full? Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So here we need to talk about the Philippians, and then we need to talk about Epaphroditus. You know why Paul was full? Because somebody took out their wallet and took some of their money and gave some of what they worked for so that a fellow could carry it down to a preacher and let him buy more groceries than he needed for a change. That church at Philippi, they said, man, Paul's been through enough. Paul's been through enough. How about just once? Instead of Paul having to get McDonald's on the way home from church, how about let's just give him some real money and let him have a steak for a change? Paul wrote him back. He said, boy, I've been in hungers often. I've been in fastings often, but I just appreciate it. Tonight, I'm full. I'm more than full. You say, well, that sounds kind of worldly. That's carnal. Not if you don't ever do it for yourself. Paul wasn't expecting any favors, but there's nothing wrong with him showing some appreciation for someone's gift. Look at it this way. If you're someone who likes to eat first class and drive first class and live first class and prop your feet up and be comfortable in your air-conditioned home with your marble floor and your pool out back and your clean clothes, then why should the missionary always have to go on 50% rations? Why is it wrong for a man who's laboring on the field, why is it wrong for him to take his wife somewhere for a week when you do it twice a year? Well, he's a missionary. He's supposed to be serving God. So are you. And he's at least doing it. He's doing it. Amen. Those people at Philippi, they may not have gone on a missionary journey, but they were a friend to the man who did. They made sure he was full, made sure he had what he needs, made sure there was gas in the tank, made sure the kids, the missionary kids, had something to play with. Well, a missionary's kids, they're supposed to be serving God. They don't need toys. Well, how come your kids have toys? You're supposed to be here serving God. Well, that's God's money. Well, you spent money that God gave to you. You spent it the same way. Why should kids who are growing up in the jungle in Africa, because God called their mom and dad over there, why should they not at least get a toy to play with like your kids got to play with their friends? What's wrong with just being a friend to somebody? What's wrong with somebody else being full for a change? What's wrong with me going with my tank half full so that somebody else can have his tank up to the top for a change? I tell you, if you talk to any preacher, he'll say the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. The only people who ever gripe about the money, how the money is spent, they are the people who are not giving it. That's the truth. I'm just telling the truth. The only people who ever gripe about what you do to fix the building up are the people who never show up to help you fix the building. The only people that ever gripe about somebody getting recognition are the people who want all the recognition. I don't want to be that way, man. I don't. I want to be a friend. Now look at this fella, Epaphroditus. What did he do? Well, I don't know that he can sing from what I read in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say anything. I don't know that he was the bookkeeper from what I read in the Bible. Looks to me like he just ran errands. All I know about Epaphroditus from the Bible is he ran errands. That isn't much, is it? Boy, I wish God would call me to the ministry. I'd like to preach. I want to be a preacher. Well, okay, so God didn't call you to preach. So he didn't. I'll tell you what you can do. You can run around and do all that little piddly stuff that the preacher gets bogged down with so he could preach. Free him up so he can preach. And when you get to heaven, God would give him half and he'd give you half for whatever God accomplished when he did preach. You don't believe that? I'm telling you it's true. I'm telling you that's the Bible. Are we laborers together in God's vineyard? Does one plant and one water, but God give the increase in the same field? Well, then how can you say the guy that plants and the guy that waters are different when it comes to reward? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe in Acts chapter 6 when they called those men in and said, look, we want 7 men who are full of the Holy Ghost. These tables need to be waited on. It's right to wait on these tables, but it's not right for us to wait on these tables because God wants us to study the Bible. Now, we need 7 men full of the Holy Ghost who aren't Bible students, 7 men full of the Holy Ghost who aren't preachers, 7 men full of the Holy Ghost who are not prayer warriors, so that we can do what God gave us to do. And they can take care of what needs to be done. And I guarantee you, when those 7 men come home to heaven, they'll get the same reward as the fellows that they freed up to pray and to preach the word. Those men said, I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I want to serve God. I want to be a full-time worker for God. Great. We got a bunch of widows who need feeding. Okay, fine. You know what the selfish man says? Oh, you mean we can't preach? Not with that attitude. If you won't wait tables, you can't preach. If you start waiting tables and you are where God wants you, why waste time preaching? You're where God wants you to be. I tell you what, there's some good people in this Bible. Look at Colossians, the next book, chapter 4. I'll show you a couple more. Colossians chapter 4. That guy, he just ran errands. It would be good to run errands for Jesus. Colossians 4 and verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. When I hear a Christian criticizing another Christian, you know what I know? I know this. I don't have to be psychic. I don't have to be a mind reader. Here's what I know. They are not laboring for that person they're talking about in prayer. They're just not. They're not praying for that person they're complaining about. You cannot spend time on your knees before a holy God begging God to bless somebody, to help somebody, and then get up off your knees and tell somebody else what a rat they are. That's not going to happen. That won't happen. If you see somebody leave the church mad at the preacher, mark it down. They're not praying for the preacher. You see somebody leave the church mad at somebody in the church, mark it down. They're not praying for their brothers and sisters in that church. That's the truth. Now, I want to be a friend. I do. I want to be a friend. I could see, you know, let's say I see one of you doing something that a Christian ought not to be doing. And I go and I privately tell Brother James about it. And then I go and I tell Brother Edgar. And then I could go tell Brother Richard about that. And then I could go tell Emmanuel about that. And all that would prove is that I'm not your friend. Or I could go tell God about it. I could labor before the Lord on your behalf. And what have I done? When I went and told everybody else, I was concerned about me. When I went and told the Lord, I was concerned about you. I want God to help you. You know, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I may one day be a shriveled up old man in a nursing home, but I don't want to be a shriveled up friendless old man in a nursing home. I don't want to be a sour, bitter fellow that's left with nothing but four walls and a TV set because I cared only about myself and reached the end of my days having cultivated no one who cared about me in return. I don't want to be that way. I'll bet you Epaphras was the most beloved man in that congregation. You say, why? Because he's probably in love with everybody in that congregation. You just ask some of these fellows who have been around for a long time, been in the church for a long time, and they'll tell you the most popular people are those people in those churches. They're the prayer warriors. They're the prayer warriors. There's just something about loving people in the presence of God that makes people love you. And he was that kind of man. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll finish up here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So I just don't have any friends. Well, I wouldn't say that too loud. Well, nobody likes me. Shh. Repent. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Now here you got a list of some good guys and some bad guys. And Paul doesn't mind naming those on both sides. Verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I've known a bunch of them, haven't you? "And is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Wouldn't you rather be a Luke than a Demas? Wouldn't you rather stick by somebody than bail out on them, leave them hanging? That's a real friend, Luke. "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Notice, he didn't say he's profitable to the ministry. He didn't even say he's profitable for the ministry. Paul said, I've got a ministry, and Mark is profitable to me. Mark helps me get my work done. Demas didn't. Mark did. Mark didn't devote himself to the ministry. Mark devoted himself to the minister. And the work got done as a result. Verse 12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So there's Tychicus again, giving himself to being a simple errand boy, willing to do it. Just, you know, hey, how about running down to the hardware store for me, Tychicus? Sure, no problem. And could you clean my car, Tychicus? It's a bad testimony. It's looking really bad. No problem. Praise God. I'm glad I can do something for the Lord. Beats going to hell. Sure does. Verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. I'd sure like to do something for God. Great, would you run down there to the airport and pick up that preacher for me? I just don't have time to go down there. And hey, while you're on the way, would you stop at the library? There's a book I've been wanting to look at, and would you run by there and get that for me? People say, that preacher, man, he's so lazy, he's always trying to get everybody else to do things for him. Why? You may as well just leave now if you're like that, because you're going to leave anyway, sooner or later. If it is below your dignity to pick somebody up at the airport or to run and get a prescription for a lady or a lady in the church or to drop somebody off at the store, if that's below your dignity, you don't have any dignity. Here are some men serving God just by doing little, seemingly insignificant things that needed to be done for somebody else. They are friends. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Ouch. Well, we'll talk about him some other time. There is no shortage of illustrations on old Alexander the coppersmith. I've known a lot of Alexanders, and all I can tell you is I don't want to be one. Don't want to be like him. So here's what I've got to ask myself, and hey, you can spend the rest of the day analyzing me in light of this, but that's not going to help you any. But I will. I'll analyze me. How many people in this world can honestly say, Bob Davenport is my friend? I'll tell you what, I should be. I know I ought to be. I want to be. And you ask yourself, how many people in this world would say, not that they know me, not that I'm a nice person, not just that I'm friendly, but how many people in this world would say, she is my friend, he is my friend? There's some great people here in this Bible, and the great thing they did was they just helped somebody else. And God thought that was real important, and he put it in his Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for showing us that there's nothing that's unimportant if it's done with the right heart, the right spirit, and done for you, Lord. Help us to be a friend. Help us to be willing to go the distance, to be a friend to others. Not to be a moocher, not to be a taker, but to be a giver, a helper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.